All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you here from Queens in New York City, the 27th day of March, 2018. I do want to remind you that I'm the author of Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. Its major focus is on gold mining shares, especially exploration companies, companies that actually find the wealth on the ground and then let the big boys, more often than not, put it into production. And some very substantial gains are to be had in that sector, in my view, going forward. We've enjoyed some in the last couple of years as well, but I think if Michael Oliver is right, we may be on to the next leg of a bull market in gold, and we'll hear from Michael in just a couple of minutes on that score and others. I do like to encourage you to consider subscribing to Chen Lin's letter. ChenPicks.com is where to go for that, ChenPicks.com. Chen is actually in China right now with his family, a little vacation for the kids, and then he is on his way. Actually, I think he's perhaps returning now from Novo Resources Project in northwestern Australia. He is an investor in Novo as well, and he was there to see the project. So I look forward to hearing from Chen when he returns on what he saw from Novo Resources. We do want to thank each of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. We also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically possible and viable. They are sponsors for this week are Auron Resources, Bonterra Resources, Dynacore Gold Mines, Genesis Metals Corp, Klondike Gold, New Range Gold Corp, Northern Empire, and Novo Resources and Uranium Energy. Shortly before I went on the air, John Newell, he's a fund manager out of Vancouver, sent me a chart showing that gold had broken out above the downtrending S&P gold ratio, indicating that a new bull market in gold is underway. At least that's what he sees from his price chart analysis. If this move is sustained, I think all of those sponsors I just named should do very, very well. Their shareholders should be very happy in the months and months to come. If we did see a breakout in gold over the relative to the S&P 500, that we did see that actually going back in 2016. We saw a breakout, and now we're seeing another one. Oh, Michael Oliver, as I said, will be with me in just a couple of minutes to talk about gold and some of the other very important markets that are starting to unfold right now. I've titled today's show, "No Free Trade, Only Darwinian Game of Trade." Charles Hugh Smith, Jeff Deist, and as I said, Michael Oliver are with me today. No one can argue truthfully against the concept of free trade. In theory, at least, it allows countries that have lower cost of production to sell their products to countries that are inefficient in those same in producing those same items. So then consumers, whether corporate or individuals, certainly do benefit from true free trade. President Trump has received a huge amount of criticism for arguing that we do not have free trade and all he wants is fair trade. Is there any truth to Mr. Trump's arguments? Well, again, Charles Hugh Smith might agree because he has recently written the article that I just mentioned, "There is no free trade, only Darwinian game of trade." In light of Trump's establishment threatening tariffs, we seek enlightenment from Charles on this issue, and in the second half of today's show, he will be with me. And right before that, former chief of staff to Congressman Ron Paul, Jeff Deist, who's now the president of the Mises Institute, will join me to give his insights into what he thinks about the tariffs that Mr. Trump has proposed and whether or not, in fact, they will be enacted. But enough for theory. What we really want is certainty. And I don't know of anyone who is more able to help me feel more certain about the markets and where they are now and where they're headed than Michael Oliver. So I'm so pleased to have him with me again. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Always good to have you here. Wow, we're seeing some, what seems to me, some major turning points in these major market tectonic plates that you've been talking about over the last couple of years, the NASDAQ, S&P, T-bonds. And then on the other hand, you know, you see those in trouble. On the other hand, you see some markets like gold and crude and commodities in general looking pretty strong, especially the agricultural commodities. But what are your latest thoughts with regard to the NASDAQ in particular? Because there seems to be some very interesting things taking place there.
Well, it's been the narrow leadership of the entire developed markets of the world, Japan, Europe, and the U.S. The NASDAQ 100 is front-end loaded and weighted with the famous FANG stocks. Mm-hmm. And that's where the narrow leadership is focused. So when that index breaks its quarterly momentum, which it has not done yet, we had a very specific number this quarter, and it came down within about 10 points. And on NASDAQ, that's nothing on a NASDAQ 100. That's a 6,000-7,000-point index. Breaking below it during that early February break. It traded below it, but when closed the week below it, and it took off again, upside. Then came back down again, come back up again. It's very violent, thrashing around in the huge swings, 150-point swings, 200-point swings. And we think what I'd like to see happen, if I could, you know, get my wish.
Get out of your way.
Nothing. I don't want anything more to happen between now and the close of the quarter, which is 2 days away. Just close right here. I'd be very happy. Quarterly momentum is a dynamic measurement of price where you take price as a secondary and you oscillate it against a moving average, in this case a three-quarter moving average, and you get an oscillator, not a price chart. And you see price in its percentage relationship above or below that average. Well, that's what we're looking at because there's a massive structure that's been developed on that particular chart, and it's been developed since 2017, so it's now a year and a quarter old. It's quite old, quite clear. All you basically have to do next quarter, which is to say, you know, any week starting in April, is close, you know, around where you are now. I won't get real specific because the number will change a bit as of Thursday's close when I can calculate exactly, you know, where mm-hmm. the new three-quarter average is. But when you break that NASDAQ 100, I think the whole world is going to go take a next leg down. Most indices like the DAX index in Germany, the S&P 500, the Euro Stoxx 50, which is a very blue chip overall European index, they've clearly broken down, and they're in the process of further decline. But the NASDAQ 100 is the lone survivor; it's the leader. But I think once it breaks, it will become the leader again on the downside, meaning that when it starts to break, it's going to drop more than the S&P, more than the DAX, more than, you know, a lot of things. That's generally the history of markets. Is, you know, the excess leader on the upside becomes the excess leader on the downside once you've turned the tables. And I think we're in the process of turning the tables, period. The other markets are already turned. The bonds have already topped and are headed down. Right now they're in a short-term counter-trend rally, which we expected. And it's largely due to the volatility in the stock market. People are saying, well, gee, I better get in the bond market, you know, for safety.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a false notion. It won't work. Ultimately, but it will generate a short-term rally, and that's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the gold market, I love what it's done. It has just very quietly tiptoed its way back up to a key level on price charts, which we look at secondarily. We became bullish in 2016 in February at the price of 1140. But price has built a base that such that if you can close a month out around 1350 or higher, you'll break out above it, and even the price guys then will say, hey, this is a bottom completed, you know, bull market. And we've been above there and below there the last few days, below there right now. But gold has quietly just moved up to that level. Nobody's noticed, nobody's cared, because there's so much volatility in the stock market mm-hmm. that nobody's noticing what's going on in gold, which is a refirming back up near the highs of the last 2 years. And we're confident that it's going to go through, whether it goes through on Thursday's close or not, it's going to break out of that price base. happen to think that silver has some good odds of doing a big catch-up to gold. It's been much more anemic than gold. Gold's gone back near its highs of the last 2 years, where silver sort of stayed in the middle of the last two-year range. Very quiet, very dormant, just like GDX. But I think there's some numbers on silver. We've issued them in reports, two-layered numbers above the market, that if you can trigger them, you can shoot silver up to $25 pretty quickly. And I think in that process, it would outpace gold on a percent basis. So I think that's a good likelihood. But all the markets are now moving, and now the stocks, which are the laggard, typically they are, appear to be ready to start their downside.
Yeah. Well, I'm just noticing now that the NASDAQ has picked up a bit of steam to the downside, and so have the others. The Dow's down 202 points, NASDAQ down 163, 2.26%. So it is certainly 70-57 on the NASDAQ. So, I mean, we're getting close to some areas that you think are very crucial. But let me understand, Michael, why you would rather not see anything
well,
on the
NASDAQ
downside right now.
Well, on the NASDAQ 100 in particular, not the composite, but the 100.
Yeah.
I prefer when I get a breakout on momentum, I prefer to get it even if it's defaulted, meaning the breakout occurs because the moving average changes in prices in the wrong relationship to the new moving average, and therefore it breaks the structure. Okay, that's what's about to happen with the NASDAQ, but I prefer that the break not be too deep. In other words, not find ourselves so far below the breakout point when you get into the second quarter that you have air above you, meaning you could rally the NASDAQ, a couple of NASDAQ 100, a couple hundred points just to get up to the point of the breakout on the momentum chart. I'd rather be around the point of the breakout on the momentum chart when you open the quarter so that there's no rally potential. You just go down. You know, you just broke. Whereas when you open well below it, you've got room to rally and it won't mean anything. But you still have that room to rally. I'd just soon go ahead and close so you don't have any rally potential. You just, oops, gone.
Yeah,
you know.
Gone.
And you
get
drop,
over with.
We make the NASDAQ 100, which is 6,700 area lately, could easily see 5,900, 5,800 in a heartbeat. That's a 10% drop. And that's just for starters. It's...
Michael, let me just ask real quickly about oil, because we've seen some renewed strength in oil. How's that market looking to you right now?
It's... I would look that we have run two things. One, our annual momentum suggests that your resistance for the year and likely target for the upside is 74 or 75, maybe up as high 70s. Let's call it mid to upper 70s. Well, we've been in the 66, I think, has been our recent high. Okay. So that's a nice percent further gain, but it's not monumental. Oil's already had a huge move from a $26 low in early 2016.
Right.
So we view it as a... Yeah, it's got more to go, but, you know, percent-wise, it's just not got the potency of, let's say, grains, or even the potential of natural gas, which has a pending structure above it that could give it a 50% move. So while it is positive, it's not the place we think is the most money might be made in the commodity arena.
Yeah. Well, I know you've been very bullish on the softs, and
the charts that you send along are
suggesting that's where people should be. It's not the kind of markets that a lot of people invest in, but certainly people can do it now through ETFs and so forth.
Yes,
that made it harder
kinds of
for individuals. Yeah, a lot of vehicles. Michael, thank you so much for being with us again. And
always
a pleasure. Always very, very important to have you with us. You have a growing fan base among our listeners, I can tell you that for sure. So thanks so much for being with us once again.
Thank you, folks.
Well, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away, because Jeff Deist, he's the president of the Mises Institute. He'll be with us. Formerly, he had been the chief of staff for Ron Paul. We want to talk to him about trade and get his ideas on the Trump tariffs. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Deist.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
New Range Gold Corps is a Canadian junior explorer focused on its recently acquired flagship Pamlico Gold Project, located in Nevada, one of the best mining jurisdictions in the world. Known as one of Nevada's highest grade gold districts, Pamlico was held by private interests for most of its history and remains largely unexplored. Drilling by New Range is already confirming the legendary grades of the district with intercepts up to 341 grams gold per ton. Well-financed with no debt, New Range is unlocking shareholder value at Pamlico and trades under TSX symbol NRG. A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.